passage that we read today from the New Testament book of Hebrews is one that is part of a larger passage that is so powerful as it goes through and lists the people of faith that have come before us and the ones who have blessed us with the vision of who and what life can be in God's grace and who they discover themselves to be. Is an invitation for who we may be also. Listen for the word of the Lord as it comes to us from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, who quenched the fury of the flames, who escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily tangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, late at night, when I can't sleep, I wander around the internet looking for clues about the people who came before me. For instance, my great-grandfather, William Tennant. He was born in County Down, Ireland. He survived two shipwrecks. And when he came to the U.S., he helped excavate at the World's Fair of 1892. You know the book, The Devil in the White City? He was out there scraping that swamp and turning it into something beautiful. They're about to replace some of those scrapings with a presidential library. It's nice to find out part of the story of your people, isn't it? I found another one just this week. This was a grandfather with so many greats I lost count. But it's Gideon Haskell. He was born in Maine 2 years before the American Revolution. He served in the War of 1812. And I discovered this week he was rewarded for that service in the Army with some land from Western Illinois. Isn't it great that the government would give him, a guy from Maine, land in Illinois? That's government for you. So. But I love those family stories, and I always wonder how we got where we were. stories, and they're fun to find out. But you and I, we share another set of family stories that we all share in common, because we have some famous ancestors among us. We hold them in common because we're people of faith, and their stories of faith are set before us to inspire us and to help us to see what God has in mind. I like going back, as this story in Hebrews does in the earlier part of what we read today, to talk about our great-great to the nth degree grandfather Noah. Noah, who built the ark and survived the flood. See, Noah was the first eco-hero in the Bible, right? There were giraffes, but their morality was fine. There were elephants, otters, lions, tigers, bears, and naked mole rats. And all of them, their morality was fine. It was the people who were the problem. After not too much time in the biblical story, the culture had become so corrupt that God said there wasn't any hope with them. He was going to wash it all away and start over. And he was going to do it with Noah and his family. Noah had this sign from God that the world needed a new beginning, a vision that it was possible to sail away from the old and to float into this new future. The world could have a new beginning, but you had to take a risk. He had to take a risk. He had to build a boat, a huge boat, miles from any water. So people laughed at him. They laughed at how naive he was. Noah, you can't get away from what's going on. You can't escape the power of this kingdom and this culture. They thought they knew it all. But Noah knew something else by faith. He picked up his axe to cut down the trees to build that boat. And every chop of that axe said, faith, faith, faith. Faith that the brutal world that surrounded him is not what God wanted it to be. Faith that the culture of hatred could all be washed away. Faith that a new world could be born. Noah chopped those trees log by log and scraped every board until it was straight, and he did it all by faith. When that boat was built and the animals were loaded, our ancestor Noah sailed through the world's longest, biggest storm, and he and his family went bobbing on this eco-ark and floated into a new world by faith. You and I, we are the great, 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 great to the X grandchildren of Noah. That's our ancestor who seems to ask us, are you ready for the journey in faith? Are you willing to build a boat in Lincoln, Nebraska that will take people to a new world? Of course, we have some other ancestors too, don't we? Abraham and Sarah, they're our ancestors. Abraham and Sarah, who were, as you realize, two very comfortable older people. They were old, but they were wealthy. They could have just put their feet up and watched TV and relaxed until checkout time, right? They had it all, except for one thing. They had no future. They were going to leave no legacy. And leaving no legacy meant for them that their lives were going to be meaningless. But God said that's not how it has to be. You can have a future. You can give birth to generations as many as the stars in the sky. The meaning of your life, Abraham and Sarah, can go on for generations. It can go on forever. But the catch is, you have to leave the past behind and you have to step out in faith. So Abraham and Sarah came to know, for all their comfort, for all their power, for all their wealth, it was not going to mean a thing without being part of God's future. And so these two old geezers turned off the TV, took the Afghans off their laps, reached down and put on their walking shoes. They headed out the door and they never looked back. When creaky old Abraham walked and when arthritic old Sarah walked, every crunch of the gravel on the journey, every step along the way said, faith, faith, faith. Faith that rising up would be worth the risk. Faith that leaving it all behind was the only way. Faith that old people still count in God's history. Faith that every step was taking them closer to a new beginning, to a new world. We, you and I, we are children of Abraham and Sarah. They're part of our spiritual DNA. And the question of us is, as children of Abraham and Sarah, do you have your walking shoes on? You see, we've got a family story. We've got a family tradition. We've got a core family value that is faith. Great, great, great to the nth degree, grandchildren of Abraham and Sarah. The question is, are we ready to exercise that family value and make our move? Because if we are, it means that we have to be ready for the risk. So we need to talk about faith, what faith means, what faith does not mean, so that we're ready for the journey when God calls. There's some ways that people talk about faith that it doesn't make sense. Faith is not about walking off a cliff and thinking God's going to catch you. Faith is not about wishful thinking. Faith is not about God writing you a blank check. There's some people whose theology says, name it and claim it, whatever you pray for, God's going to give it to you. That's not what we believe about faith. God is not our cosmic Santa Claus waiting to take our order at the drive-up counter. Faith is something else for us. For us, and I went to the dictionary to look up what the dictionary had. The dictionary said, and I quote, faith is the assent of the mind to the truth of a statement for which there is incomplete evidence. I just love it when the dictionary gets it right, okay? Let me say that again. Faith is the assent of the mind to the truth of a statement for which there is incomplete evidence. By that, I just want to make the distinction. There's some people that think that whatever comes to their mind, whatever fantasies come to their mind, that that's what faith is, and they're just going to follow that faith. But that's not what the Bible is about. That's not what we experience. It's about incomplete evidence. Because we have some evidence. We have the history of the people that have come before us. We see what they have done, how they have walked by faith. And that is part of the evidence for us. We see the words in the Bible. We see the experience of people in the church. We have the history of the church. We have our own experiences. All these are touchstones that help us to come to see that we have partial, though incomplete, evidence for our faith. So we're not just making it up. I really like Anne Lamott, what she says about faith. Anne Lamott, that Presbyterian novelist, who says that for her, her experience of faith is more like she's a frog swimming from one lily pad to another on a big lake. It's not that she gets to shore. It's not that she has, you know, something solid and concrete underneath her, but the lily pad to lily pad is enough along the journey. It's incomplete evidence, but it's not that there's no evidence. We may take a leap of faith, but that leap of faith doesn't mean we think that we're Jason Bourne jumping off of skyscrapers, right? For us, it's more a step that is a risk in itself in the journey to which we have been called. Faith says that God is not going to give you whatever you want. But God is going to teach you what you most need. Faith is believing that God we see in the world that there are some values that are not real. They're not going to last. They're not going to have meaning. Noah floated out in faith because the old world had become corrupt and it was going to fall apart and be washed away. And he knew it, and he wanted to stick with what was real. And that's why he floated out in faith. Faith is this partial evidence, these lily pads, that we enter into step by step along the way. Faith is trusting in the revelation that God gives us of what is real. It's a way of seeing and perceiving. We come to see that grace is better than judgment, that healing is better than hurt, that hope is better than despair, that love is better than hate, that sacrifice is better than selfishness, and all of these values that we learn along the journey of faith, that's what's real in life. And that's where God is headed. And we want to go and journey where God is leading us into that reign of God, that kingdom of God, which is possible step by step along the way, along the journey of faith. Of course, we have other ancient relatives. The story today out of Hebrews mentions Moses. Pharaoh was the one who ruled over Egypt at that time where Moses was. Pharaoh believed that power and violence and oppression and murder and fear, he thought that was real, and that's what was going to endure. But Pharaoh has washed away. We saw that at the parting of the sea, because Moses stepped out into what was truly real, that trust in God, that faith that was going to take him through the turmoil and the trauma, take him through 40 years in the wilderness. So faith has to do, in part, with a sense of courage. The courage to step out for these alternative values. Perseverance, a stick-to-itiveness through all the plagues and through all the years in the wilderness. Faith. As Hebrews says, Moses kept his eye on the invisible one, which is a nice way of referring to God. He kept his eyes on the invisible one to see what was real, what was true, what was good, and what was enduring. Faith gives us courage. I think that's central. Faith gives us courage. It calms our fears. It doesn't keep us from falling, but it helps us to rise up again after we have fallen. Faith challenges our past by opening up visions of alternative new futures. Faith calls us to keep on walking, keep on journeying, recognizing that God is taking us not only forward, but higher, onward, upward. God gives us faith in partial evidence, allowing us to see what is coming in the coming kingdom of God. See, you and I, we come from a family of faith. A long history, this great cloud of witnesses of these people. It's part of our spiritual DNA. It's who we are. We've been given this gift. And the only question is, will we claim this gift and will we walk by the faith that has been given to us? Will we claim the gift that we have been given and allow our faith to open us to some future that may be imperfect? It may not be in focus yet. We may not exactly know what we're doing or where we're going or how we're going to get there, but we know what is loving and true and just and good. We know that God is calling us there. And the only question is, will we have the courage to step out in faith? Like Noah, will we build that big boat miles from the shore, knowing what's coming? Like Abraham and Sarah, will we put on our walking shoes? And the last thing I'll say is, when they put on their walking shoes, the book of Hebrews makes it very clear that nobody gets to reach that final destination unless they realize that calls us together to be this family of faith that is journeying into this new day, this new way, this new life, this new world.